He knows us better than anybody else. So we need to go to Him and we need to surrender our lives to Him. So I thank God for all the wonderful things the Lord has been doing. And today, this service, I want to speak on the spiritual gifts. So let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 14 and the first verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and the first verse. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather ye may prophesy. Praise be to God. Any living church, if the believers should live a life witnessing to the world, I believe the church should have the spiritual gifts. We know that we have the greatest gift, the Holy Spirit. We know that we have all that comes. Holy Spirit is like a package. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Word of God, you have the revelation, you have the truth. You understand God, you understand everything. But the church should be in action. And action means there should be spiritual gifts. Now we know that we have the 9 spiritual fruit of the Spirit, which is written in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. But also we have the 9 spiritual gifts which are written in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So let us read it before I go into it deeply. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from 6 to 11. Brother, you can read it. From 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from the 6th verse to the 12th verse.
And
11th verse, yeah.
But it is the same God which worketh in all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit his own. For to one is given the Spirit of word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. For all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and have many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ.
Amen. So Paul has mentioned 9 spiritual gifts. When we receive the Holy Spirit, or when you come to the knowledge of the truth, every one of us, now Paul has told all of us, like in the 14th chapter, the first verse, follow after charity, but desire spiritual gifts. You know, you need to desire. Until there is a desire that of the gifts, God is not going to give you the gift. It is not something which is automatic. You know, you need to desire, because the gifts are necessary for the work of the ministry. See, we require that. Now, if somebody in the local body is sick and doesn't get healed, still we are not going to disbelieve that there is no God. As believers, we believe in the will of God. Right? Somebody may be sick in the church. Somebody may not get healed sometimes. But still we know there is a God and He has permitted the sickness to come to us for certain reasons. Though we believe in the healing, for some people the Lord permits sickness as a chastisement, or the Lord permits sickness as a sword to correct their life. That is what we have been seeing in the morning. But now these spiritual gifts are necessary in the local body of Christ. Now we know that we in the entire message circles, or those of us who believe in the truth, most of them have given importance to the word of God, to the revelation of the truth and things like that, but they have failed to recognize the spiritual gifts which have to operate in the body of Christ. Whereas the Pentecostal circles or the charismatic groups, they have given importance to the gifts, but they have forgotten the truth and the word of God. So this is one extreme, and that one is another extreme. We need to have a balance of the body. Spiritual gifts is something like Paul is saying, desire. You need to ask. Now in the book of Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, we saw the 9 spiritual gifts. Now you need to desire. You need to be, if you are part of the body, you have to in some way be useful in the body of Christ. Now when you desire the spiritual gifts, usually, you know, will God give everyone the spiritual gifts? My answer is yes, and my answer is no. If you are truthfully seeking God and you truthfully desire spiritual gifts and you are seeking God to receive the gifts, I believe that each and everyone will receive something from God. You know, God will not call you just to live a life, a spiritual life which is boring. If God has called you, God wants you to be active in the body of Christ. All of us have to be active in the body of Christ. And that is why here we see about the spiritual gifts. Now, when it comes to the ministry which God has given to us, I have seen a lot of gifts being manifested in the ministry. In the past, I have seen many gifts. The Lord was working many things. But there were times when I was seeking spiritual gifts, that is, when I was in the Pentecostal movement, I thought the tongues that they speak is the right tongues. I believed in their way of dealing with the gifts. So, you know, we used to go, I think Brother Preston also has some experience in the Pentecostal church. You know, they teach you to speak in tongues. You know, tongues is not something that, you know, in the Pentecostal churches, they actually teach you. They will even give you a head massage. You know, when you go there, you just give them some oil. They put the oil and they massage you in such a way. So it happens in the Pentecostal churches. And there are, in the Pentecostal churches, if you go to see, they believe that the Holy Spirit, if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Right? And they have taught people, they teach people how to speak in tongues. Even now I remember some of the words which I was taught. Laba, Shaha, Masaha, Sri. You know I can say those words. Riyantaraba, Shanduraba. And everybody keeps speaking in the same kind of language. But that is not the way the gifts operate. For the gifts to operate, you actually as a church, each and everyone, we have to pray. When the church has healing service, there should be gifts of healing. There should be brothers and sisters who pray and healings take place, so that when an unbeliever comes inside the church, he's touched by it. Amen. See? We need to have the gift of prophecy. So if a brother or a sister, a new person comes inside the church, you open up the matter through your gift of prophecy or through your gift of interpretation of tongues. You say something about their life. You should have this gift. Now I want to give this as a witness. When I went to Manila, Brother Bonbon comes to me and in the car he picks me up at the airport, and straight away we are going to Mega Manila to one mall where I wanted to go and meet the immigration people. The first thing I said, I'll finish that and then we go home. As we were traveling in the car, the brother asked me a question. He's saying, Brother Shadrach, we have so many sick people in the church. Are you ready to pray for them? I should have actually said, yes, I will pray for them. Instead, I asked him, Brother, how many years since you have taken communion? You know, his face changed. He has already made a statement in his interview. It's all there in the open. I asked him, Brother, how long since you have taken communion? So, he kept quiet. He said, it's been quite a long time, brother. And then he kept quiet. He never told me, spoke about the subject again. The shock for him was, how did Brother Shadrach know that I have not taken communion? Our church hasn't taken communion for a long time. You see, when there is a gift operating in you, you try to bring a solution. In his mind, he's feeling our church people are sick. There are many people sick in the church. Why? People are not getting healed. They are believers. So he's asking me to pray while I'm asking him, Brother, how long since you have taken communion? He got the answer. And in the evening, he took a small interview. He brought forth this question. He said, I asked you to pray for the sick while you are asking me a question back. How long since you have taken communion? So what is the connection between? I said, there is every connection between it. And I did not know. You never told me. Nobody told me that you don't take communion. But it is the Spirit of the Lord which revealed. Amen. There was a connection. There was something wrong in the church. There are two ways the church can become sick. Either you don't take communion for a long period of time. Yes, you can become spiritually sick. Or if you don't take communion with honesty, with truthfulness and faithfulness, again, you can become sick. So the body of Christ needs the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And communion is something related to His death. And through the death of Jesus Christ, we receive healing. We receive forgiveness. Amen. Right? We receive healing for our soul and for our bodies. So when there is a discernment, when the spirit of discernment works, when the gifts are operated, you come to know the problem. You know, when I went to Africa, when I was in Kenya, I went, actually the person who called me was Pastor Martin Panjala. After the meeting was over, then he introduces me to another pastor by the name of Gasper from Nairobi. He said, our meetings are over for 1 week, now you will be serving in Nairobi. So more than 10 days I stayed in Nairobi. And Pastor Gasper, he has come 2007, he has embraced the truth. He came from the Pentecostal movement. And now he's a TV preacher, he has his own TV station. And he wanted me to preach in his TV, BBM, you know. So, as long as I was there, every day I used to give some message. Now, this Pastor Gasper, he has a gift. And I saw those gifts being manifested. Big crowds. Morning service, there were more than 500, 600 people. Evening service, there was 400, 500 people. And every afternoon service, you know, they start service at 8:30 in the morning. They end the service at 8:30 in the evening. And let me tell you something, I was not tired. Because I really felt the presence of God. God was working. Now, this pastor had a gift. Now, what is the gift? I was seated behind the pulpit. He was calling people by names. And some of the brothers, he points out. Said, Brother, get up. You're addicted to smoking, you're addicted to drinking, you're even taking drugs. And you come here because you want to be delivered from that. And that man starts to cry. And he comes forward and he prays. And sometimes he used to call me also to pray for the sick. And we were having this healing service. Now when the healing service was going on, I was sitting and I was praying. And suddenly I felt a presence like a wave. Something like a wave of sea. A presence coming and hitting me. When the presence hit me, the Lord told me to, my eyes were closed. The Lord told me, open your eyes. And I opened my eyes, the Lord said, look to your right. I saw to the right, there were many pastors seated down. And among those pastors, I really do not know this, but the Lord revealed. Many of the ministers, some of the ministers who were there, were very close to Pastor Gasper. And then now the Lord tells me to look at Pastor Gasper. I looked at him. Now the voice of the Lord is coming very clearly saying, some of them among these ministers who are seated here are going to betray him. They are already working against him. And the voice is coming to me, inner circle, inner circle. Tell him to strengthen his inner circle. There are people who are going to betray him, and they are working to bring him down, so that they are working in a way that he's going to fall, his ministry is going to fall. So give him a warning. Now this man is standing from the pulpit and calling out at people, and here the Lord is revealing some things which he himself did not know. I had to be silent. I was very quiet. I said, Lord, what is this thing? Is this something, my own thought? How can I? Because the presence of the Lord, like a wave that was very clear, the voice was very clear. And then I kept quiet. I went to my room that Sunday night. And he had an assistant, you know, by the name of Joshua. Then I told him, how about your pastor? Gasper, I have something. I have a message for him. And Gasper is not a person like, you know, he's not very free. He doesn't talk to everybody very freely. He's very limited with his words. So he told him, no, Pastor, whatever God has revealed to you, please tell him. I said, okay. Then next day morning, he comes to the room where I'm staying. That is his TV station. They have a TV station along with rooms to stay, you know. So he came there. I told him, Pastor, I have a message for you from the Lord. So he immediately put his record on. He said, you may say. So, and he had his assistant sitting with him. Then I told him, the Lord has a message for you that you need to strengthen the inner circle. You are thinking that the people who are very, very close to you are your friends. No, they are going to betray you. They are working for your downfall. This is the warning which the Lord gave me. You know, I was actually a little scared to say that, because what if I'm wrong? What if I just do speak with my own imagination? But then I had to trust the voice of God. When I said that, you'll not believe me. That man was down on his knees. And his assistant fell down. Both of them started to scream and shout and cry. They started to say, Lord, save us, Lord, save us. And I got scared. I said, what happened now? I said, Pastor Gasper, what happened? What happened? He said, Pastor, please pray for me. And I prayed for him. I said, Lord, strengthen his inner circle. Now when I finished my prayer, then he gets up, wipes his eyes, and then he's saying, the Lord spoke through you. I had little doubts on some people, but I did not have enough proof. Then he goes there, and after I came back, he even put my recording on live on TV. He said, this man Shadrach, I don't even know who he is. First time he's coming to my church. He doesn't know about my ministry. He doesn't know who are associated with me. But the Lord gives him a message. I said, I stand from the pulpit and I'm calling out at people and speaking about their sins. I know what people are doing. But here, the Lord gives me a message. And you know, it came to pass that all the ministers who were very close to him were playing with the money. Because, you know, for his TV station, Every month he's paying about 500,000 to run his TV. So a lot of money was involved, and all the people who were the most closest that he was thinking in the inner circle, you know, those people were betraying him. He came to know about it, and within 10 days' time, everything was changed. Hallelujah. Now he's doing his work very freely. See, we need spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts are very, very important in the church. That is when unbelievers will fear. When somebody comes inside, there should be the spirit of discernment. Some sisters, some brothers should have the spirit of discernment. What kind of person is entering inside? What kind of man with what kind of spirit is coming inside? The church should be, the brothers and sisters should be in a condition to discern that. Because these are the days when the devil is playing so cleverly. So we need spiritual gifts which will be manifested with power. So that the church will have the power of God, and those who come inside, you know, every time you don't need to depend on your pastor. Now, for example, you have a neighbor and somebody is sick. You don't need to say, Brother Prasanna, please come. Maybe at that very moment of time, Brother Prasanna may not be able to come. So that you people should have to pray for the gift. When you go and lay your hands and pray on the sick is healed. You don't need to depend every time on a minister or a pastor. Because these last days, this is a ministry of the bride. The entire bride, God is using the entire bride. That is what perfection is all about. Amen. Fivefold ministers, what are we trying to do? We are trying to bring inside you that faith which God has given to us. What we have seen, you have not seen. And that is why through our messages, we are trying to bring that truth, seal it up into your hearts. So that you people start to become a living witness for Jesus Christ. Now let's come to the book of Acts chapter 1 and the 8th verse. From 8th verse to the 11th verse.
But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
The Lord had already instructed them to receive the power. And the Lord told them already, you need to go to Jerusalem and wait in Jerusalem. He never told them how many days. He just told them, wait for the Father. Wait for the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send. Now the problem with the disciples were, instead of trying to be a witness, witnesses, they are looking up to the cloud where Jesus was taken. Most of the believers fail here. You should realize we all have a work. But most of them are waiting for the rapture, as though the work is over. What work have we done that we are waiting for the rapture? For me, it makes no difference. I'm not saying speaking about resurrection or speaking about rapture is wrong. No. It's a doctrine in the Bible, and we need to be clear about it, and we need to teach people. But the point is, for me, dying or going the rapture doesn't make any big difference. Because I want to be a witness as long as I'm alive on this earth. The disciples were looking up. What were they looking for? They were looking for Jesus to return back. But already the Lord instructed them, after you receive the power, after you receive the Holy Ghost, you will have power. See, 8th verse. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's why last time I meant, you know, with you, in you, and upon you. Upon you is an anointing, special anointing, coming so that whatever word or revelation that you preach, you will be manifesting it with power. Amen. You just don't speak an empty word, but you speak a word which goes with power. Only that can make you all true witnesses. Because here the word power is translated as dunamis in Greek word. They call it as dunamis. Dunamis means like a volcano eruption. Like an earthquake. Like something is like shaking. That's dunamis. That's why the word dynamite came from dunamis. So dunamis means it's a shaking power. Which moves, which circles inside the church, that the outsiders start to fear the true living church of the Almighty God. Instead of receiving the power, they were looking up to the sky, looking at the cloud. What about the entire message people? They are stuck to the 1963 cloud. Huh? They are just stuck to 1963. They cannot see anything beyond it. That's why I asked some of the entire message people, I said, how can 1963 cloud be your experience? If God had given a supernatural experience to Brother Branham, that belongs to him, not to you. Yes. Did Brother Branham tell you, everyone in every home you should have a cloud picture? Because everybody are quoting Brother Branham. Is there any quote which says everyone now make a frame? Keep it in your church. If your church doesn't have a cloud picture, you don't belong to entire message. If your church doesn't have a Hoffman picture, you don't belong to entire message. See, everyone is looking at the cloud. But my brother, you need power to be a living witness. You need the spiritual gifts being manifested. You should have the gift of healing. You should have the gift of faith. You should have the gift of discernment. Amen. You should have the gift of tongues. You should have the gift of interpretation of tongues. Amen. Not the false gift which is happening in the denominational churches. Not the false tongues or interpretation of tongues which is happening in the charismatic groups. But a true, genuine gift need to be operated. There are two instances where I can, you know, there are many times I've spoken in tongues and interpretations have come, but two times which is very important in my ministry, which I saw it was very important in my ministry. One, I was in Bihar. I went and preached in the morning. Very few people, like 25 people had come in the state of Bihar. And one lady had a problem with her hip. For 2 years she was not able to move. After preaching the word and we prayed over her, she was completely healed. I went to my hotel room, and that evening service at 4 o'clock, we were getting ready to come back to the 4 o'clock service, when one of the pastor ran, the organizer ran, and he came. He said, please give me your keys, I'm going to lock you and my translator, Brother Alpan. You know, that brother's from the state of Northeast. He's from Bengal. He said, brother, he's my official translator when I go to North India, because I don't speak fluent Hindi. So he's my official translator. I always call him. So the pastor came and said, please, both of you go inside. I'm locking you. I said, what happened? So the anti-Christian groups have come searching for you. They are searching you. If you are found, it's gone. No, like we say in our language, they'll make you chutney. You know the coconut paste chutney which we have? A tomato paste, you know, they make you a paste. So now I didn't know what to do. And just like Paul says, fear was on all sides. We are human beings. Everybody, there is no problem in dying. But to suffer and die is something which you really need strength from God. Now I don't know, Lord, because every time I go out for ministry, I say, Lord, am I going to come back? Or you're going to take me? That is the kind of work that we have to do when we go to North India, to some of the places. This place, Bihar, a place called Sasaram. And like crazy anti-Christian people. Crazy people. I remember seeing a video from that place. You know, one Christian boy was caught. That is after my meetings. I escaped. But there was another Christian boy who was caught. They killed him. And they are jumping on his dead body. And the police are standing and watching. Oh my. Inhuman acts are going on. So now these people come against me. Now we are in the room. I don't know what to do. I gave the keys to the pastor. He locked us and he went. So I told Brother Arpan, my heart is very heavy. Let us pray. So I asked the pastor, what are you going to do? He said, we will just go and we'll talk to them. Just pray that there will be peace. And I started to pray. As I started to pray, suddenly, you know, the tongues is something like, you don't think, but those words are put in your mouth. So a burden came, and here I started to speak in tongues. And I gave the interpretation. I said, oh my bride, thus say the Lord, oh my bride, do not fear. I, the Lord, I am with you, and the bride shall overcome. There were a few more things which I spoke. I gave this message. Brother Alpan was a witness. After our prayer was over, after these tongues came, I gave the interpretation of the tongues. Suddenly the fear went away. It was like I was released. And Brother Alpan is asking me, Brother Shadrach, do you know Hebrew? I said, no. Are you sure? He said, yes. He said, Brother, I'm learning Hebrew. And all your words were related to the Hebrew words. And it came so clearly. You see, and after this, after 1 hour or 2 hours, the pastor comes back again and asks, what happened? He said, Brother, we don't know. Suddenly they all became very silent and peaceful. They only told us one instruction. They said, tomorrow don't have service here. You shift it to some other place, but not in this main market. Because we were having the meeting in a main market. So that is the only one instruction they gave, and they left. So the pastor came with peace. He said, my God, I was really scared. Because if they catch you, brother, we can do nothing. And that is one time the Lord saved me. And there is another incident which took place a few months back when I was in the Northeast. I went to a church. Baptist church. Now in Northeast there, Brother Kennedy, he is now working for our ministry there. He was a Baptist preacher. He studied, he did his Bible college in Baptist church, because Northeast of India is packed with Baptist missionaries and Baptist universities, Baptist college, Baptist school. You know, so nearly the Baptists are running their show. And Northeast is the place where more Christians are there. All over India, you find the highest number of Christians are staying in the Northeast. And I go to the Baptist church and I start to preach. Brother Kennedy is translating for me. I already baptized him. You know, so he said, Pastor, I want to take you to this church. This is the Baptist church where I'm a member. I want this truth to go there. I said, let's go. So he arranged for a meeting and I started to preach. As I was preaching, you know, I could see the people understood nothing. I nearly preached for 40 minutes. Nothing went inside them. Because they know no scriptures. Their pastors, I don't know what they have taught them. They have not read scriptures. They know nothing. And here I'm speaking about the image of God and likeness of God for nearly 40 minutes. And suddenly I started to feel Everything is quiet because the people were sitting like this. There was nothing like this. At least a little movement, okay. Nothing. It was like all statues. I said, what's going on? And my heart was so burdened. I slowly came to Brother Kennedy. I said, Brother Kennedy, do you think they actually understand something? He said, I also don't know, Pastor. I said, what are we doing, man? You're standing here slowly. I said, 45 minutes I've been screaming and shouting. They have received nothing. Lord, what should I do? I kept quiet. I prayed in my heart, Lord, you need to do something. If you don't do something, why did you bring me to this church? At least a little movement should be seen in them. 45 minutes of preaching, and now I realize they have not understood anything. Then I restarted preaching after my prayer. You will not believe me, brothers and sisters. Now everybody was so attentive and looking at each other. And they were like rejoicing. I can see in their hearts they were rejoicing. So I was happy. And it ended only 20 minutes. Then my service, because people cannot sit for long hours. 1 hour maximum, 45 minutes to 1 hour I have to preach. I finished my preaching. I said, thank you, Lord. At least this 20 minutes I could feel, Lord, you are moving in their hearts. Thank you for it. I don't know what happened. I went to my hotel room. I stayed. I took nice rest. Evening, Brother Kennedy comes to meet me. He said, Pastor, you know what happened in the morning? The last 20 minutes, they were very attentive. I said, yes, brother. I saw that. He's saying something happened. Everybody heard you speak in their Karbi language. I was preaching in English, but they heard in their local dialect Karbi. And the surprising thing was, the people were wondering, why when Pastor Shadrach could speak so fluently in Karbi, why is this man repeating, Brother Kennedy, repeating the same words? Brother Kennedy is hearing in English and he's translating. So seeing what Brother Shadrach spoke and what you translated was so perfect. I said, Brother Kennedy, do you know what happened? It's an outpouring. I said, what there? This is what happened in the book of Acts. Right? How do we hear these men of Galilee speak in our own tongues? See, they were glorifying God. And here, those people are hearing in their respective languages. I said, it's an outpouring of the Spirit. You need to work here. You know today what happened? That local pastor, Baptist pastor, died. And the church has been handed over to Brother Kennedy. Now he's the pastor of the church. He's leading the church. And many people, slowly, even yesterday he sent me photos. He said, brother, some new people are getting baptized now. So God, this is why we need spiritual gifts. This is why we need the real tongues. The Pentecostal churches are having false gifts. Once upon a time, God used them. But they rejected the word of God. Since they rejected the word of God, God is no more dealing with them. Now everything has become false. There are even actors. You know, I know some of the Pentecostal ministers. They hire actors and actresses to walk like a lame man. You know, limping and coming. And they stand in the stage, the cameras are taken. Already they are paid actors and actresses. And they say, what is your problem? Sir, I cannot walk. Heal in the name of Jesus. Rabba, shabba, shabba. And that man starts to jump and run. It's really happening in my city. I think in Chennai also. They are actors. You know, in one of the video, one of the brother was a videographer from my church. He had gone for a Pentecostal church and he took a video and came. He said, something very funny happened. I said, what? I said, today, there was a man who came on stage. And the preacher is asking him, are you deaf? He says, yes. Heal in the name of Jesus. God gave you here. Are you deaf? Yes. Heal in the name of Jesus. You see, these are the kinds, because now there is no more gifts are not, true gifts are not working anymore. God is slowly leaving the movement.
But God wants to bless the bride with spiritual gifts. Now is the time. We need to receive it. All through these ages, from the time of Brother Branham's ministry, now and then carried by the fivefold ministry, the word of God has been given so that we all come closer to Jesus Christ. Amen. But the true gifts has to be operated in the church of God. This is a very common thing. Now, let's go to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 16. Seventeenth verse and eighteenth verse. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We need to see the power of God. This should be a very common thing happening in our churches. This scripture doesn't point out only to ministers, does it? Is the scripture pointing out only to the men of God? No. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. Are you a believer? Amen. Do you believe in the name of Jesus Christ? Then the spiritual gift is yours. You just have to claim it and walk in faith. I have seen mighty things happening. So many demonic powers have left. So many demon-possessed cases in my ministry have been completely set free. I have seen this. But at the same time, let me tell you this. I'm saying this as a warning. Some of the entire message people, they used Brother Branham's books thinking the seven seal book is some kind of power. And I know one brother who went and laid the seven seal book on the head of a sister who was possessed. Oh. You know what happened? That woman gave that brother a kick in a very important place. Please understand. One hard kick for a brother. Along with the book, he had to go and sit in one corner. Not able to get up for some time. And there was another incident where six end time pastors, I'm a witness for that. All of you must, brother, you must know about Ronald Watson. I've already written, you know, Dalton Bruce Group. Dalton Bruce Group. Some of you, I don't know, some of you are not aware of that. There was a false wind which came, you know. And that group had invited me. They're coming for the first time and I don't know. I said, okay, some minister has come. And one of his agent by the name of Ronald Watson, he was the one who was preaching. I said, okay, and people have invited me, I went. And there was nothing special about the preaching. But he preached, nearly breaking the pulpit, just like he wanted to hit the pulpit like Brother Brennan. And after the meeting was over, some of the pastors who had gathered over there, they called me to pray for a man. And the man was thin like Brother Clement, or even like that brother, brother, your good name? Melvin. Yeah. You know, thin like this brother. And they invited me to preach, I mean to pray. I said, why? I saw six pastors around. So I told them, already six pastors you are covering. Why should I also come and join and pray? They said, no, no, please come. I asked, what? They said, no, 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 come. Come on, they are not even telling me what the problem is. Okay, I said, let me go lay my hands. When I laid my hands, the spirit is telling me, take your hands, it's a demon. I immediately removed my hands. Then I said, brother, there's a demon. Don't lay your hands. All six of you, you're standing as though you're anointing that man with some anointing, with oil. Said, move out and start rebuking. Nobody was ready to listen because, you know, they think because they are reading Brother Branham's book, they have everything, they have power. And all pastors around him, they are praying. I took my hands, I came, I stood separate and I was just praying. Because I knew the Lord did not want me to be part of something which is going to happen. So I moved out. Now when they said, fall in the name of Jesus, this man is falling down. When the demon is falling down, usually you don't try to lift them up. Because the demon has to fall. When this man is falling down, the pastors are going again lifting him up. Go in the name of Jesus. Again he's falling down. They are again lifting him up. When they started to do this, you will not believe me. Just like Bruce Lee. That's all. I don't know what power, brother. I've been watching this. Every pastor, five or six pastors, all falling in one direction. East, west, north, south. Northeast, southeast. You know, they're going and falling. And the pastor of the local church, he came and hit the pulpit and fell down. And I'm standing this side. And he hits the pulpit and he falls down. When he gets up, his pants is already down. Only his underwear can be seen. And I'm standing here, I'm saying, Pastor. And all the believers, the church women are also there. I said, Pastor. Pastor, your pants. Put your pants up. This happened, huh? I said, Pastor, put your pants up. But he's like in a shock that the devil hit him. He's so angry. He's also showing like tongue. You know, in his anger. The devil hit me. I'm saying, Pastor, put your pants up. Your pants are falling down. I scream, okay. And he put his pants. Then he goes back again. One shot on the rib. The pastors were flying. I'm speaking about end time message pastors. They were flying in different directions. And there was another minister standing. I told brother, these pastors are not going to listen to us because the demon which was inside him has come into these pastors now. Let's move from this place. So I left the place. Next day morning, we just wanted to see because they were poor things. They were fighting a lot with the demons. What happened to that main pastor whose pants fell down? I was feeling very sorry for him. You know, I went, he said, oh, Pastor Shadrach, my rib is broken. The demon hit him so hard that the ribs were broken. Oh, brothers and sisters, this should not be the case. When you stand in the name of the Lord, the demons must be able to testify, I know Jesus, I know Paul. Amen. You need to be identified. The true bride has to be identified with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. These things have happened. I've seen these things happening in my ministry. I was in Rajasthan. I'm sorry. I was in Rajasthan. That's a state. That is another anti-Christian state. And I have gone there for preaching. You know, when you go inside the villages, in those places you will find so many demon-possessed cases. Now I go to a place and I'm preaching about Godhead truth. It was a Pentecostal church. I'm opening the truth about Godhead and I'm telling them, Lord, today you will have to prove that what I'm speaking is the truth. So the last, after my preaching was over, I started to conduct a healing service. And I told people to be ready, stand in line. As I was instructing them, something happened. Somebody standing, I felt there was a man, a bright man standing towards my right hand. You know, and he's saying, stretch your right hand. And the voice is coming. I'm standing here, I can see in the side. When I look there, the man is not there. But I receive a voice. Stretch your right hand. For I will place my hand upon your hand. I said, Lord, what's going on? Is this my own voice? Am I imagining something? I kept quiet. Then again, I just started to worship. Now I see that man again. When I turn, he's not there. Then again the voice says, stretch your right hand. For I will place my hand upon your hand. Oh my God, I was getting scared. I said, what is happening? What is this thing? Something is new. I've not experienced, I've prayed for the sick, but this is something new. And now the third time, I don't want to turn, but I know He's there. I'm getting scared to turn. You know? But after some time I turn, He's not there. Now the voice is telling, stretch your right hand. You know, I just believe the voice of God. I just stretched my right hand. And I told the people, the Lord, thus say the Lord, Lord is saying He will place His right hand upon my hand. When I said this, brothers and sisters, you will not believe, demonic possessed cases were screaming like anything. We have the videos. God willing, I'll try to tell Sister Benita to send the videos to Brother Zoil. He can share it in the church. Demonic powers were screaming, the women and men possessed by demons. I was just standing in the name of the Lord, and the demon possessed woman coming, hitting the pulpit, and they're all falling down. I didn't even chase it. But this thing happened in India, in our ministry. I've seen these things happen. Now the news went, spread to different parts of the other village where I was supposed to go, and now that church is packed with people. We didn't even have space to enter inside. And in that place, so much of healings took place. And I openly preached baptism in Jesus Christ's name. I told them, pastors, you have to re-baptize the people in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, that is why, like this, I can give you so many witnesses. There are many witnesses, many things to be spoken. This spiritual gift is very, very necessary in the church. That is why the Bible tells you will have to seek the spiritual gifts. The true ministry will have the sign of the true spiritual gifts if you are truthful to God and if you start asking God from your heart. I believe each and everyone will receive something. Because God is honored to do His work in His saints. Some of the people ask me, what about the Pentecostal people? What about the people outside the faith? They are doing something. I tell them, see, some healings may happen. Some healings may happen because God is dealing with an individual in that group. It is not because of the minister. It is not because of those people who are conducting healing service. Because God will not sell Himself in the hands of an unrighteous man. I have said this 1,000 times. God is not going to sell Himself to an unrighteous man. Who's commercializing the gospel. Why will God put Himself in the hands of an unrighteous person? Who doesn't glorify God, who doesn't speak the truth. That's why we see some scriptures here. In the book of John, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. 15th verse. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their... 16th verse. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, of figs, of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. 18th verse. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. See what the Lord is trying to say. A wicked man, one who is selling the gospel, the Lord cannot go and place Himself in their hands. The book of Acts tells us very clearly, the Lord, through the hands of the apostles, He did mighty signs and wonders. Amen. Those who are carrying the truth are carrying God Himself. And fivefold ministry is nothing but the right hand of God. We see in the book of Revelation, the right hand of God, there are seven stars in the right hand of God. And what is the right hand of God? Consists of five fingers. That is why all the mystery, all the truth, everything now is in the hands of the right hand of God, which is the fivefold ministry. Amen. And Lord, your right hand has smitten the enemy. It is the right hand of God, which is going to finish the work which is given. And that is why God cannot He will not put himself into unrighteous men's hands. So he's giving us something very clearly. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Now what kind of fruit is that? It is the fruit of the word. Because the Lord is already warning us about wolves coming in the sheep's clothing. The wolves cannot speak the language of sheep. Here the fruit is the fruit of the lips. The truth that you speak. By the truth, by the word, by the message that they preach, you know whether he's the right person or a wrong person. The wolf has to be... Wolves cannot speak a sheep's language, right? The wolf has to howl, while the sheep has a different tone. But there's a false spirit which has already entered. It entered through Rome. Already Jesus' garments were gambled. And they had taken it. For a wolf to have sheep's clothing, it should first kill a sheep. So the wolf, which is coming out of Rome, they killed Jesus and took the robe. What is the sign? God is already showing a sign. How the false ministry and false prophets and the Antichrist, how they are going to come, from where they are going to come. It is all shown to us. Now, the fruit of the lips, or the fruit through which they speak the truth, you will know when a genuine minister of God comes, he speaks the truth from the scriptures. He speaks the truth for these days. He speaks the truth which is leading them into the righteous path of God. Now, somebody had a question regarding this. The 21st verse and the 22nd verse. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Brother, just read it. 21 and 22. Let me have my water.
Not anyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Then he will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?
Okay. And the 23rd. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now there's a difference between the Pentecostal movement and the true men of God. The difference is, they also do some wonders. But they lead the people to Trinity. You got it? How can they do wonders? How can some miracles? Because I already told, God is not going to sell himself to unrighteous men. But how can miracles take place? How is this happening? Now for this example, if you have a loaded gun with bullets which belongs to a certain owner. For example, if Brother Persona is having a gun, he has a license, he has a gun, and loaded with bullets. There is coming another person who is a thief who does not have a license, but if he starts shooting, do you think the bullets will stay inside or the bullets will go out? Will the bullets say, hey, no, no, he's not the owner. Oh, he's a thief. I'm not going to go out. No. Any gun which is loaded with bullet, anybody can shoot. He may not be the license holder, but he's a thief. The name of Jesus Christ is a gun loaded with bullets. Amen. Anybody can use it, but they will never get the reloading of the bullets. Once the bullet is over, it's over. That's why the Lord is saying, you men of iniquity, who told you to steal my name? You have never led the people to the truth. You do not lead the people to the righteous path. You did not lead the people to my kingdom. But you used my name. You used my name in vain. You used the bullet, the power of the name, to glorify yourself, to make money, to commercialize, to preach the prosperity, using my name. Oh, you thieves, you men of iniquity, you workers of iniquity. And that is what the Lord is saying. Therefore, 21st verse. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. It means we need the will of God along with the spiritual gifts. There should be a balance. You have the true word, genuine word. The genuine word producing the gifts in us. Other people may just hold the bullet which is not their right. Old Testament, there were prophets who are misleading the people. In the same way, there are people today, the ministers today, who claim to be ministers, but they are false ministers. I remember the Pentecostal church. You know, when I was a young boy, that's when the charismatic groups were growing like anything. I lived in that time when the true Pentecostal church was dying. The true revival was dying and false teaching started to come. So there is one man, Bereka, prophetic. You know Ezekiel Francis? And I went for his prophetic course. Thinking I go to the prophetic course, I'll become a prophet. But going there, I saw all kind of false things happening. Sometimes when I think about it, you know, I really feel like laughing. You know, they had something called a slaying in the spirit. That is when you touch a person, that person will fall down. I don't know, Benny Hinn has used this tactic all through his ministry. Pushing people and they fall backward. So these things were started in my time, in the 90s. So I had attended that course and about 500 people were there. So the first day meeting started. And from the stage, the minister is saying, now the Spirit of the Lord is moving. Everybody, you close your eyes and you will feel somebody is pushing you. You see, when you close your eyes and you stand, it's very common to feel a little momentum. Right? They call that as the move of the Spirit. The Spirit is touching. So you have to let go of yourself. Just fall down. Now, I did not know what to do. I'm new. I've already been a Hindu. And, you know, I've come from a background which I didn't even know who Christ was. And now I'm just standing. I close my eyes. I open my eyes like that slowly. I saw everybody on the ground. I said, what am I doing? I started to pray, Lord, push me, Lord. Because the preacher is saying, one hard-hearted young man, stubborn, rebellious, who does not want to give place to the Holy Spirit. And you know, here I'm crying, Lord, push me. Push me, I'm a sinner, Lord. Push me. Then there was a heavy hand upon me. It hit me so hard that I fell down. And in anger, my teeth hit one against another. In my anger, I opened my eyes. I saw that pastor's volunteer, you know. He came and hit me on the forehead. Because hard-hearted fellow. You know, I could hear the sound of my teeth hitting each other, both. You know, the upper teeth and lower teeth. He hit so hard. And this was the kind of push. And then, every time they come with the Spirit, you know, Lord is now giving you a spirit of laughter. When the spirit of laughter comes, you laugh and all your sorrows are turned into joy. You see, look at the scriptures. And then I'm looking at everybody, everybody starts to laugh. You know, 500 people, when they start to laugh, even if you are not laughing, I turned to my right to see one old man with just two teeth. And I started to laugh, looking at him. Looking at him, I have to laugh. And I was laughing and laughing, looking at all the people laughing. And then suddenly he said, "Now the Spirit of the Lord is making you cry." And everybody are crying. But no change. 10 days I attended the meeting. There was no change in our hearts. No change in our lives. In fact, I went back as a confused Pentecostal. Even the little faith that I had, I started to doubt the Pentecostal churches. I said, "What's going on here?" And things went too extreme. And there was one woman who had an evil spirit, which even the best ministers who considered themselves to be the best ministers could not chase it out. Because that spirit was so powerful. And these ministers are trying their best to chase it. Never went. You say, there are false things happening. What is this pushing down? What is this falling behind? Nowhere in the Bible God has encouraged such things. Every man of God, Daniel, John, they said, "We fell at the feet." Forward. John fell at the feet of the Lord. Daniel fell at the feet of that angel. Falling forward. Who was falling backward? Eli, the priest, when he died, he was sitting on his chair and he fell backward, broke his neck and he died. There were men who came to arrest Jesus in the garden of Gethsemane. Jesus asked, "Whom are you searching?" "We are searching for Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am he." And he said, they went backward and fell. So falling backward is a spirit which is taking you away from Christ. Falling forward is what the Holy Spirit has given to us. Because we fall forward before the presence of God. So we need a true spiritual gift. Working in the church. We need real tongues in the church. We need real interpretation of tongues. Sometimes tongue-speaking people, for example, you come to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Yeah. Second verse. "For he that speaketh in an..." 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries." Now this is what the Pentecostal people claim, that you can speak anything you want. Actually Paul is trying to say, when you speak in a tongue, you're speaking in some kind of tongues, you're speaking mysteries. Pentecostal people don't believe in interpretation of tongues in the church, right? That is why every church, just when the pastor starts speaking, they all start to speak. When the pastor ends of speaking in tongues, the whole congregation ends speaking in tongues. It's only confusion. Tongues in no way helped. If there is no interpretation of tongues, there is no meaning of speaking in tongues. Right? So somebody, some Pentecostal person challenged me, said, "See, the scripture says, speaking in tongues, you're speaking mysteries." I said, "Show me one person in the Bible other than the apostles, tell me who spoke in tongues." That Jesus spoke in tongues. I said, "Good. What did he say?" He said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." I said, "Do you know the meaning of that?" He said, "Why, oh God, why did thou forsake me?" I said, "So we have tongues and we have interpretation of tongues. Where in the Bible is there that you speak in tongues without interpretation? You may not have get all the exact words, but you should know the substance of what you spoke. Sometimes when I'm speaking in tongues, I receive certain vision. I know that is the interpretation of my tongues." So tongues should have interpretation. So we need interpretation. Hallelujah. We need prophecy in the church. Prophecy is not just Like the Pentecostal people or the charismatic group saying, oh, God is going to give you a car, God is going to give you a house, a bungalow. 2 million, 3 million tomorrow by morning, 3 million is going to be in your bank. I don't know which black, the guys who are having black money are coming and doing all this work, you know. As for God is putting the money from heaven. These are the false kind of prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is something related to the kingdom of God. Prophecy is something I need to prophesy. The condition of this church. I need to prophesy what God is going to do through this church. See? Every gift is related to the work of God. Let it be tongues, let it be interpretation of tongues, discernment of spirit, healing gifts, faith gifts, rising the dead. Whatever it may be, every gift has to be operated so we take the people to the truth. Every gift has to be operated in a way so that the church, the believers here, you can guide the unbelievers to the truth. Many healings have taken in the past. Many healings have taken in the past. But why did Brother Branham's ministry stand separate? It was because through the gifts, he was leading the people to the truth. There were other ministers who were also healing. Oral Roberts, he was healing. I have seen his videos. Wonderful healing. A.A. Allen, I've seen his videos. They pray and people who are lying down in bed on the spot when 2,000, 5,000 people are gathered, people get up. But none of them preach baptism in Jesus Christ's name. None of them led the people to the apostolic foundation. But here, Brother Branham's ministry was different. It is the same with the other fivefold ministers, whoever preached. You lead people to the truth with whatever gifts you have. So the church requires spiritual gifts. Without the spiritual gifts, without the power of God being manifested, the unbelieving world cannot believe in Jesus Christ. We need to take it. I believe this is what is going to happen to the church. This is what is going to happen to the bride. This will be the part of the last portion of work which the church is doing. Amen. Because after the restoration of the word, there should be a restoration of power. Amen. When the power is restored, then the spiritual gifts start to operate automatically. Hallelujah. Amen. Moses also believed in a revival. Moses believed in a God, but it took 40 years for him to come to that I am. Do you think I am was somewhere else? For 40 years, where was this I am? For 40 years, he was in the same place where Moses met him. But it took 40 years for Moses to go to that place. Sometimes it takes long time for us. Don't think there is going to come another rushing mighty wind. Don't expect there is going to come another 120 people are going to be gathered. The Holy Spirit who came on the day of Pentecost has never gone back again. He's only going to go with the bride. Only after the rapture. The Holy Spirit is going to be taken out from the Gentiles. Right? The Holy Spirit who came on the day of Pentecost is still with us. We only receive Him by faith. And we get refilled day by day. We are getting filled again and again. Baptism is once. But being filled can happen even in every 1 hour's time. Every 1 hour, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we need to live a life. We need to come to the knowledge of the truth. We need to come to the knowledge. Our spirit should be ignited today to see that the church today requires the spiritual gifts. Let's come to the book of Acts. A few more scriptures. 5 more minutes. I'll finish by 4. The book of Acts chapter 5. Or you can read it from Acts chapter 2. Verses 41-43. Yes, brother, you can read it.
Then he received his word for baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the Bible's teaching and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, what is the secret behind the power that was in the apostolic time, and why do we lack that? It's so simple. Now, when signs and wonders are part of the spiritual gifts, which is mentioned in the book of Corinthians 12 and 14. Now, the point here is, then they that gladly received this word were baptized. I know that all of you are baptized, many of you are baptized. You have received the word, you have sincerely received the word. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Okay. Now 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostolic doctrine. Steadfastness. Even if one person is a troublemaker in the church, the unity gets destroyed. God cannot work. Now it said 3,000 were baptized. They were steadfast in the apostolic doctrine. First of all, in a church, if God has to work, you need to respect and honor the men whom God has placed. Once you don't have respect towards the men whom God has placed, don't expect God to work. You go to a hospital because you first of all believe in the doctor. And second, when the doctor will diagnose you, you know what he's saying is true about your problem. The third thing is, whatever medicines he writes, a little spark of hope comes in you. Oh, I have medicine for my disease. And then when you start eating the medicine, you're healed. Steadfastness in the apostolic doctrine means first they respected the apostles. They respected their decision. They respected and honored whatever decision they took according to the word of God. You cannot believe in a doctrine if you don't respect the man. If you don't respect the man of God, you're not going to believe. You people today, you're listening to me, sitting from morning, you're listening because first you respect me. You believe that God has sent me here. You believe that I have a message from God. If you don't have that respect, whatever I preach is going to be in vain. Even in my own family, people who have left the faith, they were part of believers. And then later on they left, there were many believers. The first thing when somebody leaves the church is that he starts to disrespect the authority in the church. When disrespect comes, then he is not walking steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. For signs and wonders and spiritual gifts to be operated in the church, some things need to be done by the church. That is what we see. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And fellowship. They were having fellowship with doctrine and they were having fellowship with the apostles. See? Steadfastness, continuity, with one mind, with one heart, one soul, each one respecting each other's ministry. You know, in the church, apostolic church, there were so many ministers. And yet we see they worked so much with one mind. They never had a difference. They had the difference when Jesus was alive. But their lives were corrected after the Holy Ghost came upon them. They were just for one mind. We need to preserve this truth. And take this truth with power. Show the world who this Almighty God is. They had only one thing in mind. Those who believe that they have a ministry, let me tell you something. If you have a ministry, you can even stand under a street on a road and preach and people will come after you. You got it. But everybody wants to come here. While that, let me tell you, the true ministers of God will not want to come here until the Lord tells them to come. But those who have not been called by God but have some kind of own thoughts, they think they have a ministry, they want to come and stand here. My brothers and sisters, if I speak one word, I miss something, I speak something wrong, I can mislead you. So minister of God should be equipped with the life of God. He should be equipped with the spiritual gifts. He should have that authority. There were people who said, I don't have a ministry. Our own brethren, I don't wish to name them. In India, they said, Shadrach doesn't have a ministry. But God has taken me so far. I don't need to prove to anybody. If I have a work, I just keep doing the work. That's it. I don't need to prove to anyone. Wherever I go, for me, this is not the pulpit. Where I stand, that is my pulpit. Amen. The world is my pulpit. John Wesley said, the world is my pulpit. Hallelujah. Every street is my church. We need spiritual gifts. Look at the church. How did the spiritual gifts get operated in the church? This is the secret. So simple. We have read it many times. But we have failed to see this. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So recognizing the ministers of God who have been anointed, and whatever word is coming through the word, through their mouth, the doctrines, they were recognizing that, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread. Breaking of bread has two things. One, preaching the word of God, having communion, all the fellowship of the church is called as breaking of bread. And in prayers. There were fasting prayers, there were night prayers, whole night prayers, fasting prayers, right? Every apostle, every believer, everybody were in prayer. Without prayer, you cannot see any spiritual gifts being manifested. Amen. This church should become a church of prayer. The disciples asked the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. They never said, Lord, teach us to preach. Why did they ask, Lord, teach us to pray? Because they saw that is what the Lord was doing. Most of his time, the Lord was on prayer, praying. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Because a man who can kneel before God is a man who can stand before men. If you are not a man of prayer, you cannot stand before men. Nobody has to prove your ministry. People try to, you know, sometimes it's like men trying to prove themselves, you know. I'm a man. You don't need to prove. You don't need to say, oh, I'm being called. Just do your work. If you're being called, people will follow you. There will be souls who are following you. If you have received a call from God, you always don't need to think, oh, I have to come and stand in prophetic revelation pulpit. Or in the fellowship, or I need to come to Coimbatore to Rema Life Ministry. Even in my ministry, many people, you know, who didn't have a call, they always wanted to come and stand. You need to recognize the men of God who have been called by God, anointed by God, preaching for God and sincerely preaching. Not for some reward, not for money, but preaching so that they will work for the kingdom of God. And they were praying. The whole church was praying. When Peter was inside the jail, the church was praying. When the apostles were arrested, the church was praying. Today I'm here, standing here in the pulpit and preaching. My church is fasting and praying. We have set up teams. They may be little flock, but told you should pray. Church should be a church of prayer. How many people want to pray for hours together? John Wesley's mother had 18, 19 children. I think John Wesley was the last. She used to cook for them, clean them, wash their clothes. And after all that, she had 3 hours time of prayer every day. Can you, sisters, now excuse yourself by saying, I don't have time? Are you taking care of 19 children? No. Go in the night. Night times, 12. After 12 o'clock, sit down alone with God. Early morning, 3 o'clock is a beautiful time. I have experienced all this. This is experience. Early will I seek you, God. 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 to 6, the Lord will walk in your room. Amen. Go on your knees and pray and see for yourself. You will feel the presence of God. I have many times that 3 to 6 I have felt the Lord walking in my room. That gives you strength. You know He is there. There is a kind of reverence here which comes into your heart. Gifts don't get operated by itself. You should enter into the throne room of God, seeking and asking Him, Lord, use me. I want to be part of this ministry. I need to be a small finger. Use me as a hand. Use me as a finger. Use me as a, you know, as a leg. Use me, something. I need to be part of this body. Use me, Lord. When you go deep down in prayer, that is why the church, when they started to pray steadfast in the apostolic doctrine, they respected the men of God, had fellowship, doctrine, breaking of bread, and in prayers. When they started to do that, then the verse says, 43rd, and fear came upon every soul, and many wondered and wonders and signs were done by the apostles. See? So for an outward manifestation of spiritual gift, the church should stick with these words. The church should stand with these words. If you are going to do it, I believe the spiritual gifts will get manifested. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I want to finish it here. I know that you have been waiting here from morning. Everyone are tired. I can go on preaching. That's okay. As long as we have strength. But I know that this is enough. So seek, as the book of Corinthians, you can all stand up and read that scripture, all of us together. And we conclude 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Sorry. The 12 spiritual gifts, okay? From 6 to 12. Let us all read it together. We'll start. After everyone takes. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, 6 to 12. And there, everybody, there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with them. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as a body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. May God bless you all with the spiritual gifts. We will pray. Blessed Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Every one of you come into one mind before God. Put your heart, soul and mind and start asking God in your hearts for the spiritual gifts. Open your mouth and tell Him, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Make me a useful vessel. I want to be a vessel. Useful in the body of Christ. I don't want to be a lazy believer. I don't want to be a believer who is, Lord, just sitting, not knowing what to do. I just don't want to be a believer just to come and fill the place, but I want to be a believer through whom the spiritual gifts are manifested.
Thank you, Lord.
Ask Him now with your heart. Amen. I believe God will pour the Spirit, not tomorrow, but this very moment. Every one of you, as I'm going to pray, I pray
Amen.
That every one of you will have something
Amen.
To give to the unbelieving world. I pray in Jesus' name, this church will start to manifest. Lord, this church has been a blessing to many all over the world. And yet, O Lord, we want to see today that, O Father, the spiritual gifts will start manifesting in every believer, O God. That in this Singapore, they will shine, O Father. Everyone, as they go to their workplace, they will have the faith to pray for unbelievers. They will have the faith to testify to the unbelieving world. They will have the faith of God to share the truth to many and bring many souls of God.
Amen.
Let the spiritual gifts be manifested in their life. In Jesus' name, we pray, hallelujah. Pour your Spirit of God upon this church. Bring a revival in the church. Bring a revival in Jesus' name. Revive everyone's hearts. Revive everyone's soul. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 God. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Pour your Spirit upon the church. Pour your Spirit upon the church of Jesus. Holy, 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 holy God. Oh, let the holy dove move upon each and everyone. May the power of the Spirit come and rest upon everyone. Oh, God, let your mighty power come and fall down, oh, Father. Oh, rest upon their souls, oh, God. Rest upon their Spirit. Rest upon them, oh, Father, that each and everyone will shine, oh, God. Oh, God, they will shine, oh, Father. No devil can stop it. No death can stop it. No Satan can stop it, oh, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are a mighty God, oh, Father. You can do the same things. You are the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. Do the mighty works, oh, Father, in this church. Let this church shine, oh, God. Let it shine. Let it take up challenges in Jesus' name, oh, Father. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You have anointed Brother Prasanna, Brother Zoil, Brother Paul, and many of the other elders in the church, and all the sisters of God who are here. Let them live this life of God sincerely with all spiritual gifts of Father Jesus. Glory God, anoint them, O Father, anoint each and every one. We commit everything, O Lord, into Thy precious hands. In Jesus' precious name, I ask this prayer.
Amen,
amen, amen. Amen. God bless you all.